The reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 23. That's Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 23. Please read along in your Bibles at home if you have them. The parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came up and ate it. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hello, my name's Lee Gatiss. I'm the director of Church Society, and it's great to be able to join you for church in this way today. Sarah seemed to be a model Christian. She gave all the right answers in the Bible studies, and she was a great evangelist. Several people had come to know Christ through being taken along to evangelistic events by her. Claire, well, she was on just the same page. Her Bible seemed to have some verse or other luminously highlighted on almost every page, or with a carefully underlined red mark, and she was always eager to sing about how much she loved Jesus. Dave, well, he was a bit quieter, of course, but his dad was a vicar, and he tended to be a little bit more traditional. He was a regular attender, but he didn't say much about his faith when other people were around. What a great bunch of Christians they were. And so it seemed for much of the year. But slowly, things began to change. Sarah became more and more interested in other religions, leaving her Bible up on the shelf as she stared at candles with her Buddhist friends. Claire, well, she got a bit bored by singing all the old songs and spent more time instead with her non-Christian boyfriend. She stopped coming to church because her friends in the trendy group used to laugh at her about it. And Dave? Well, Dave was more interested in Guinness and girls by the end of the year. Sunday mornings for Dave were a great time to sleep off hangovers from the night before. Whether gradually or suddenly, they all stopped being Christians. It's a sad fact that many people who follow Jesus today will give up their Christian faith within a few years. Even in Jesus's day, according to Matthew's gospel here, it was the same. People started out very enthusiastic about him, but it didn't last long. His disciples were probably thinking, haven't we made a mistake following this chap? We thought he was going to be the Messiah, a glorious king, but now... And then he sat down and told them a few stories. Parables, he called them. A little humdrum they were too, just everyday tales about farming. It's no surprise then that his disciples asked him about these stories afterwards. So for those who really did want to know, Jesus explained the parable and told them a couple of things about the kingdom that they were waiting for. First, he told them how the kingdom was going to come. First, the farmer sows the message about the kingdom. That was the seed. No swords, no messianic manifesto for a better Israel. No, Jesus's strategy involved the word, the message that he had been preaching from the start. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus was going to preach that word up and down the country. He would plant it, that word, in people's minds, and then he would let it grow, and then there would be a harvest. The kingdom would finally arrive in its fullness. Of course, in one sense, the kingdom was already there because the king was already there. But the glory wasn't going to arrive just yet. There was going to be a delay, just as there is when you plant a seed and you have to wait for it to grow. And the seed is what starts things moving. That seed, Jesus tells us, is the word. So according to the king himself, the kingdom of God does not come in by social activism or military means. Down the centuries, Christians have forgotten that and tried to enlarge Christendom by using a sword or tried to usher in a kind of heaven on earth by means of social improvement. Now, don't get me wrong, social improvement is no bad thing, but the kingdom of God is not brought in by act of parliament, and its cause is definitely not advanced by tanks and guns. The kingdom, according to Jesus, does not even come about by a display of miraculous, spectacular power. No, God's kingdom comes when individuals respond to Jesus' word with repentance and faith. Now, that may sound pretty humdrum to most of us, but actually, it is the most wonderful and powerful thing that God can do in our lives, to bring us to repentance and faith through the gospel. Secondly, Jesus explained to those who wanted to know that the kingdom would look like a failure. Would there be massive evangelistic meetings with thousands upon thousands of people each day coming to believe? Would the word go out and start such a revival that the whole world would be converted within a few weeks? No. The kingdom would look like a failure. That is the point of Jesus's parables. Jesus is very realistic about the prospects for immediate success. The farmer, in his story, had scattered his seed all over the place. And in the same way, Jesus preached the words to thousands, maybe just a few hundred people. But not everyone who hears him likes what he says or accepts it on each occasion. So let's look at the kind of responses, the different soils that Jesus describes. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, he said, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. Have you ever had that feeling that someone you were talking to just wasn't paying attention? They've got ears on the side of their head, but they don't seem to be using them today. Well, Jesus says some people will react like that to him. They may turn up to hear, but they're not really listening at all. Such a response to the gospel is very common, and Jesus puts it down to the devil, Satan. Such superficial attention to such a vitally important message can only be down to him. Sarah, in my story from the start, well, she was just like this. No matter how many verses she read about it and how many times she'd had it explained, she just didn't get the gospel that Jesus is the only way to God. She called herself a Christian for a while, but in the end she just drifted away and carried on the way that she had been before. Do you know somebody like that? There's another kind of response also described in verse 20. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away, Jesus says. Now, at first sight, this kind of response to Jesus and his word sounds very encouraging. It looks good. It's not a total failure, like the seed sown along the path. But where there's no root, there is no fruit. There's a bit of soil, an immediate response, but very soon you hit solid rock and the word goes no deeper into the heart. Such a fragile plant without roots is not going to last long when the hot sun of trouble or persecution comes. Like my friend Claire, it's possible to love singing songs about how you love Jesus and how our souls long for him and still actually not be a Christian. The pressure of friends mocking you for being a Christian will soon kill off your commitment to Christ if you're only in it for the gooey feelings that you get in the middle of a rousing song. Of course, we should have joy as Christians, but we aren't going to be on a permanent sugar-boosted, fuzzy feelings in the stomach, spiritual high. Trouble and persecution will come, and then we will need roots in the word. It won't be easy, because our society, our friends, and our own sinful natures constantly pull us away from Christ. For all of us, there's probably at least one area of our lives where it would be easier to give in than to obey God's word. Just pause for a minute. Just think, what is that for you? Where are you most under pressure to give in to temptation? Do you have sufficiently strong roots in the word of God to be able to withstand that pressure? The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, says Jesus, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Jesus goes on to describe this kind of person who goes to church for their whole life. They may call themselves Christians from the cradle to the grave, but the word never actually gets control of them. They are constantly distracted by other things and taken in by the lure of a good job, a nice house, a sporty car, a lovely family, or constantly worrying about everything under the sun except their Christian lives, their walk with Jesus. Like Dave in my story from the start, they may enjoy the high life and simply keep Jesus on the sidelines as an optional extra. So we must be very careful that these weeds, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things do not choke our commitment to the word, to the Lord Jesus. So it seems that the kingdom of God will look like a failure. People will fall away quickly or under the pressure of persecution or because the word has too much competition in their hearts. And this can be discouraging for us, can't it? Wouldn't you have been tempted to leave Jesus in his little boat on the Sea of Galilee when all the best Bible scholars of the day said he was possessed and even his family thought that he was mad? Wouldn't you be tempted to give up being a Christian if three of your closest friends were like Sarah and Claire and Dave? Wouldn't you? But this parable is not meant to really be a discouragement to us and make us depressed. It is designed to encourage us as true disciples of Jesus. After describing those three unfruitful soils, Jesus concludes his story in verse 23. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it, he says. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. There will be a final harvest day, and on that day, there will be grain to be gathered in. True, much of the seed that was sown will have gone to waste. But when the harvest day arrives, there'll be more than enough in that field to compensate the farmer for all his hard work. Some soil is good soil. Some people will not just hear the word, but will accept it. The devil will not snatch it away from them. And when trouble comes, they will press on with the hard slog of Christian discipleship in an unfriendly world. Those who put down strong roots in God's word as soon as possible will survive the hard times when difficulty strikes or tragedy or persecution come. They will tear out the thorns and thistles that threaten to choke and to kill our spiritual lives. They won't be trapped into a comfortable life that promises so much but can never deliver, or be distracted by anxiety over worldly affairs. They will be totally committed to Christ and his word. And what Jesus is asking all of us this morning is this: which soil do you want to be? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for warning us of the troubles we may face in this life if we choose to follow you. Help us keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus and his coming kingdom. Help us, we pray, to hold firmly until the end the confidence we had when we first began to follow him. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.